Hey guys, welcome back to another podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about not getting burnt out. If you're new, thank you so much for coming and listening. On this podcast, I have one very clear goal, and that's to equip you and to encourage you into stepping into everything that God has for your life. Also, if you would please rate, subscribe, and leave a review, it would really help me out a ton into getting this message to reach as many people as possible. I hope you enjoy today's message. Ever since I was young, I hated the idea of giving up. Everything that I tried to learn how to do, I would sit there for hours until I figured it out, pushing past everything in me to quit because my pride wouldn't let me. I can remember sitting in the middle of the street with three baseballs for hours learning to juggle. It took forever, but I finally got it. And when I got it, I got so excited that I threw one of the balls randomly and it smashed one of the windows at my house. But all that mattered in that moment was that I knew how to juggle and that I could use that talent now to impress the ladies. I remember having one of these things called a ripstick, and just having one put you among the popular kids at school. But if you could ride it, people would go nuts, and I would wiggle my hips so fast just trying to see how fast I could get going on it. But there has always been this one thing that I loved more than anything else, and it challenged me more than any other sport or trick to learn, and that was wakeboarding. I loved it so much. I couldn't always ride a wakeboard. I started out on a kneeboard, and I eventually moved up to a wakeboard because I didn't feel cool enough. And there's so much more to wakeboarding than just being able to get up. And it took forever to learn because you have to learn great balance, you have to be able to transfer from your toe edge to your heel edge pretty quickly, you have to keep an eye on the slack of the rope, and you have to learn how to transfer your body weight, and there's so much more. But I loved it. I got to the point where I could do the flips, and just so I don't confuse anybody with the actual names of the tricks, I could hit the ramps and do the spinny spins and the grind rails. I loved it. It's my absolute favorite sport of all time. And there was this thing called a cable park around my house that pulls you around on a cable so you don't need a boat. And there's these points that you have to go in between on the wakeboard so that the rope doesn't gain enough slack and let you sink. But there was this one time, I was already good at wakeboarding. I was already at the point where I felt comfortable showing off. But this specific moment in time, I had gone through a period where I hadn't gone for at least 6 months. So I was out of practice, and I show up and my mom pays for me to go for 2 hours. So there's two different sides to this complex. There's one side with the ramps for the pros, like myself, and there's another side for the beginners learning how to wakeboard. And so I gear up, and I'm going to hit the practice course before I hit the ramps and stuff, you know, just to get a feel for things. But I see this girl, and I thought she was beautiful, and she wakeboarded. So in my head, this was my shot. I had to show this girl my skills. So I had to make sure that I got the spot right in front of her in line. And I made a little bit of sheepish small talk with my high little voice, and I grabbed the rope and I went. And this is how lame I am. I go in front of her just so she can watch me do my cool spin tricks, and I get to the very first turn, and I do my pop 180 over the buoy, and my board hits the buoy, the cable wraps around my neck and catches the slack and then throws me down into the water. I get dragged a little bit by the rope, but I got off and I came up and I felt my face. And I was bleeding because my tooth went through my lip, and I could vividly remember watching this girl ride by laughing at me as I floated there bleeding through my face. What a jerk. But my mom saw me fall, and she came running over to me, and I get out of the water, and she's like, "Colby, we gotta go to the hospital." And in my effort to be a man, I say, "No, I'm gonna finish my 2 hours." And I did. This might just be me, and it's kind of weird asking a question into a microphone when you're in your room and there's literally nobody around you. But do you ever get really excited when you know God is calling you to do something? Like, you know the next step, and you prepare and you practice and you get all geared up to go, and then you go and you do it, and then you just get burnt out? I was just thinking about this the other day, but I was thinking about how many things I considered over, and they were successful, but in reality, God was like, that was just the first part of the plan. And I gave up early because I thought it was already over. I feel like that happens to us a lot, especially me. We're strong starters, and we practice, and we want to do something for God, and we do it, but when there's a little bit of resistance, we burn out before we get halfway through the race. It's like bringing a sprinter's mentality into a marathon race. If you guys haven't noticed, I'm obsessed with this idea of purpose. And I speak on it so much because this world distracts us and tries to get us to the point of exhaustion and feeling burnt out for one sole reason. And that's so we never step fully into our purpose. And it scares me to think that it's possible for people to go through this life and never step into their purpose, to never step into and experience what will bring them never-ending satisfaction, and that's living a life that God wants them to live. I've been reading through the book of Nehemiah recently, and if you're not familiar with the story, it's about a bold man who is willing to give up everything to lead the Israelites into rebuilding the destroyed city of Jerusalem. Throughout this little book, I've watched these men of Israel struggle and I've seen them want to quit. I've watched them be attacked and I've seen them have seemingly everything thrown at them to get to the part that we're talking about today, which seems like the climax of the story. So we get to this part and the walls have been rebuilt. All the hard days of rebuilding the wall were over. And as I was reading, something pretty amazing stood out to me. In Nehemiah chapter 7, there's a large portion that's just about exiles returning home because one man had the faith and the boldness to push past the point of burning out and to push past the thoughts of this isn't going anywhere, nothing is going to happen, and all of the self-doubt, he pushes past it and he discovers that when you step into God's call with boldness and faith, you don't have to know the outcome, you don't have to know the destination, but you can trust that you're being guided and the consistent obedience that you choose to walk in has the power to change the trajectory of your life and impact thousands of lives. And so the walls are finished, and fast forwarding two chapters ahead in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "And then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing already. For this is a holy day to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" And I think that as we live our lives, we look at success in the task that God has called us to do as the final destination. But what if in reality, we were only halfway through the story? And this is why I say that. Because Nehemiah and the Israelites have only finished building the outer wall. And now flash forwarding two chapters later, they're celebrating. Do they not realize that they aren't even finished yet? The walls are done and they look great, but there's still a city and a temple on the inside that has a little bit of rebuilding left. Not everything is done yet and they're celebrating? And here's the point I think Nehemiah is trying to make. He's trying to give us insight and he's trying to give us a trick. And he's making the point here that you don't have to wait for a special occasion to praise God. Yes, the walls are done. Praise God for that. But even though there's still more work ahead of us, we're still going to praise God. Because Nehemiah knows that if we don't fix our eyes on the reason why we're doing this, if we don't focus our attention on God, who is the purpose, then we will burn out. Yes, we made it this far, but I need to be refilled. I need to refocus if I have any chance on moving forward. And there's a story in the Bible in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that reminds me so much of this. It's a story about King Jehoshaphat. He gets word that a multitude of people are coming from across the Dead Sea to attack them and to try to take their land. So Jehoshaphat calls together all the people of Judah and declares a fast, and they begin to seek the Lord and to pray for deliverance. And as they were seeking God, he spoke through a man in the crowd named Jehaziel, saying, "The Lord says this to you, 'Be not afraid or dismayed by the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down to them. Behold, they will come up by ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the ravine before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight them in battle. Take your positions, stand still, and see the deliverance of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you.' And they worshipped him. King Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe and remain steadfast to his prophets, and you shall prosper.' And they appointed singers to sing to the Lord and praise him." And this is what I love. They began to worship God and to sing praises before they had received their victory. So many times, and far too often, we receive a promise from God, and we wait till he has fulfilled that promise to be worshipped. We need to praise him before we receive our promise, before we receive our deliverance. And in verse 22, it says that they began to sing, and he went and he set ambushes, and those who were coming against them self-slaughtered. And I get chills just thinking about that. Do we really realize how big our God is? But listen, I don't know where you're at right now or what you're going through, but what I do know is that God has a purpose for your life that He's been guiding you through, and He's already brought you through some battles, and you're standing in this place of exhaustion and wanting to give up, but I want to encourage you to stand still and to look back at your life and remember all the things that God has brought you through and that He's done in your life, and sing praise not just for what He's done, but for what He's gonna do next. And I don't have all the answers, and I might not know the outcome, but what I do know is that our God is worthy of praise, and that there's already victory declared over your life and mine.